Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as the Used Book Guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode. What is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Reseller's Mindset Podcast. Mike next to Johnny. Today, no guest, but I have my own topic, my own rabbit hole we're going down. I call myself the used book guy. So today's episode is me just kind of diving into my business and how to grow a used book business and how there's a lot of people out there in media, the most, you know, you could argue next to clothing is the most saturated category out there. So how can you still make money selling media? What are some things I've done differently? Because listen, at the end of the day, I like to think of my media business. Nobody else has ever done it the same way I've done it when it comes to the amount of hours I put in and the results I get from it, from the little bit of hours I put in. Why doesn't everybody just do this? I mean, if we think about it, if you tell any reseller, you know, to basically put in 20 to 30 hours a week, make roughly $1,200 to $1,500 a week in profit, everybody would jump at that. So basically, I guess my question to you, Johnny, is why doesn't everybody do what I do?
I think everybody gets tunnel vision on the numbers you just said. Oh, this is easy. And they don't have the consistency because you are consistent. You do have a schedule. I mean, before you started doing a schedule, you would still pump in the hours. It just wasn't an organized hourly fashion. But you still put in the work. And I think it's that separates you, me, and everybody else who's moderately to highly successful. They pump in the hours, and they're the same amount of hours, not maybe the same hours from week to week, but they do it week after week is my point.
What I struggle with the idea that we are in one of the most saturated categories, like I said, and we still can't find profitable inventory. Now, I want to preface this. What if there were somebody out there that sold media and said they were A-OK with turning $1 into $2? Now, that is not the case for neither me or you. We want to get more than that. But sure. Hypothetically speaking, if you were fine with dropping a dollar and then picking up $2 repeatedly, I would argue that basically it would be an infinite money glitch and you could find an infinite amount of items. Like, you would never even be able to process these items.
Right, so long as those $1 items always sold for $2, that is a fine business model. It's a grind. It will be a grind, yes, but it'll work.
I got my first super hot take, and I'm going to offend a lot of people, and I don't even care because it's the truth. If you want to argue with me, sure, we can go back and forth about this, but if you are selling ISBN barcode media that isn't signed, you need to sell it on Amazon, not eBay. 100,000 million trillion percent of the time, you should sell it on Amazon, not eBay. I just think the eBay model of selling ISBN media that isn't signed by the author has some collectability aspect to it. Unless you're a huge mega seller that uses cross-listing software, which nobody listening to this is, you need to sell on Amazon, not eBay.
No, I agree with that. I mean, people do sell barcoded books on eBay, but they usually do it in lot fashion. And to me, lots do exist on Amazon, but there's not a lot of them. So I can understand the lot booksellers selling on eBay versus Amazon, but book per book, Barco book should be going on Amazon. 100% agree.
Is there a lot seller that is making over $20 per hour in profit?
I think Mel from Back from Burnout is.
She was the only one that came to my mind.
There's a couple other booksellers in text group that do the lot model, but I don't know if they're in the $20 an hour plus range, to be honest, because I think they're more hobbyist. Mel's more full-time. They could be, I'll say that. So there's at least one confirmed. And then couple of maybes that, yes, I personally know.
I'll confirm the one with you. But I think overall, and I got another thing I wanted to address is me as a bookseller, right?
I've seen this. We have the group. We have hundreds of people. We got weekly calls. We got everything. We see it, basically everybody's business from the inside out. The people that succeed are the people that turn and burn and don't care about the stuff they sell. And I do think it, for some reason, a lot of people that get into selling books love books. They love reading. They love collecting books. It's almost, it's not almost, it is. It's a hindrance to the growth of their business because there's this level of attachment to that book, right? There's this extra tender, loving care they got to give every single book because, hey, I love books, like look at all my books behind me, right? And I think it is nothing but a hindrance to your media business if you are so attached to books and you want to save the planet by selling books and making sure every book is in the most perfect condition. And I think that is a complete waste of time.
I think it's okay to like books, but I agree there needs to be a separation. If you have a problem when somebody sends you an offer and you know better and you know the exact value of the book, but you're not willing to flip it because of that attachment, that's a problem. Now, to your point of over cleaning it, over prepping it, I do think that's also a problem. And then people who hold on to books and haven't listed them, they're thinking about listing them, but haven't listed them yet. That is also a problem. So I think those are three big factors of you should not be reselling books. You like books too much, switch to a different category. And yeah, buy these books for your personal collection.
I got another hot take. They're coming in rapid fire today, Johnny.
All
If
right.
we are selling books, I am not buying a book today that's going to take 3 years to sell. I don't care. I don't want to hear nothing about this. My dollar today is going to make me a whole lot more over the span of 3 years, 2 years. This idea of just listing on eBay, it's a collectible book. Someone will eventually buy it. 20 years from now, the book is still sitting on your shelf. We got to get out of this mindset. We already came to the conclusion that there's an infinite amount of this inventory. Me and you can go out today and come back with a car full, like
Want.
every day, 7 days a week, right? The books are everywhere. Why do we still get hung up on some of this long tail stuff? There are situations, a percent of a percent of situations where it makes sense. And even then, if it's something that's that rare and sought after, even if you have, one of five out there, if you price it correctly, it shouldn't be sitting for this long.
Right. The couple situations, I agree with you for the most part, but the couple situations, and even you had some clarifiers here, I think are the antiquarian market. The market pool is small, so it may sit for a couple of years, right buyer, right time kind of scenario. And then you have your other books, like the ones I deal in, where when the buyers come, they usually buy multiples. But even then, that's a long tail game, and I have to admit, it didn't work out to being sustainable to the point I would like it to be financially. That's why I had to jump into Amazon. Now I'm still running that model for my eBay business, but I can't advise people to do it in good conscience, even in a bulk scale. It would work. It would just take, like you said, 10 years to work to what I'm doing in my first year at Amazon. So.
There's no point because the dollar you spend today, Johnny, to let that book sit there, if you just would turn that dollar into two into four, like that dollar now has become way, it's worth a whole lot more than that book if it ever sells in a year or two. I hate this
You would
idea
have
of.
to do such volume, like I would have to like five times clone myself to make that work in the first year. I
Yeah.
really would. I realized that after 2 years in eBay, what that model does, and it's I decided not to play that game. It is a model, but you have to have other, you have to have your financial means of money outside of that game while playing that game in addition, if you are to do that, in my professional opinion.
The only way media scales, books scale, is your processes and getting your time back. And the only way you can do that, here goes another one. I'm going to throw this out there. It's not by selling your duds on Whatnot. I know your hot
Oh,
take on Whatnot. You don't like Whatnot.
no.
I'm not fully against it. I mean, we kind of talked about it before. Like, for me and you dress up as Bert and Ernie, we probably could sell every single book out there because there ain't no other Bert and Ernie on Whatnot. But this idea that I go get a car full of books, and then the stuff that's not worth it to sell on Amazon or eBay, if you're doing eBay, you're going to try to sell on Whatnot. Like, I've seen this trend in book selling, and I'm here to tell you, It's a waste of time. You know what? If you can't sell your dud on Amazon, like, who in the right mind is going to buy your dud on Whatnot and pay $1 plus $8 shipping? Like, that doesn't exist.
Right, and I think a lot of resellers are buying from other resellers on Whatnot. We had somebody high profile from Whatnot come in and text group and talk about that. And I asked him flat out, would you do Whatnot today? And he said, no, not unless you're willing to eat it for 6 months and make it your full-time platform, not a part-time platform, your full-time platform, and eat it for 6 months was his answer. Now, I'm in another group where they're pushing Whatnot pretty hard, and some of them probably listen to this. So, no offense to you guys, but I'm here to tell you, if you were to put the same amount of hours that you're putting into Whatnot into either eBay or Amazon, your profit per hour, I think, is more beneficial. And that's what it comes down to, profit per hour. Mr. Jack is a proponent of that. I say it pretty much every podcast. It's never going to change. How much money are you making per hour? Where is your time assigned? Would it not be more beneficial to pump it into a more profitable per hour business model?
At the end of the day, people are scared to start on Amazon, Johnny, right? Think about this. Amazon's the big bad boogeyman. Sooner or later, he's going to come knocking on your door, and it's going to be the end of the line. I don't really think that is the case. Amazon has, we were talking about it before this, the account health assurance, where they're not just going to can you for nothing. We do everything we possibly can to avoid getting banned on Amazon, right? We're not selling textbooks. Anything that could be a red flag, we avoid. But for some reason, and I guess I'm harping back again here, people that sell books on eBay are so scared to start Amazon. But if you look over on our group, I mean, we got people that are like me. They're not great with technology, right? I mean, veterans, retired. We got lots of retired people.
We
They
do.
got through the process, right? So, like, there's no excuse. And they've been doing this for years because a lot of them have been around since we started the group and they're still successful. They still make, if you put these people on eBay, they probably would make a tenth, maybe a 20th of what they make on Amazon because it's just so much easier. I just want
Faster.
everybody that sells media on eBay to just give Amazon a shot for 6 months, a year. I guarantee you will never even look back.
And to your Amazon sellers, honestly, give eBay a shot. One listing a day. So you're doing 365 listings for the entire year. Yeah, I know you're shaking your head over there, but there is some money to be made. I'm not talking about putting the $20, the $10 books, but you come across the $100 books, the $200 books that there's no listing on Amazon. You need a way to sell that. And in my opinion, the way to sell that's going to be on eBay. Now, do you want a bunch of this stuff? Do you want running a full-time eBay store? I mean, that's a choice you got to make. But I agree with Mike. The money is just quicker on Amazon for the most part. Unless you're gonna do huge volume on eBay and or cross list on eBay, I would just do the high profile dollar books on eBay itself.
Clarify high volume for those because me and you know what high volume is, but maybe the average person. When you say high volume books, give me a
Yeah.
number.
I would say you need to have 10,000 active listings a year, compounding. So first year's 10, second year's 20. Now you're going to sell some of that 10, some of that 20 along the way, but you've injected 10,000 items into your eBay store annually.
Insane. I mean, think about this. How long would it take you to list 10,000 items on eBay versus Amazon if we just did a complete time versus time? I mean, I don't know. Maybe we should do this where you, well, I'll tell you how long it takes to list an item on Amazon. We're talking like 3 seconds, right? For the label, then putting it in the box. Like, it's that easy. I scan it, the label prints, I put the label in the book, it goes in the box. I'm never touching it again besides carrying the box down. So,
Yeah.
I mean, the time difference here is astronomical. I don't want
That's
to
the
like.
thing, it's the time. So even if you have software come on in, you're pretty much treating it on Amazon speed at that point.
So just
And
sell on
that's
Amazon.
right. Yeah, you could. But for the people who don't want to sit, there's some weird holdup out there where Amazon's got my item. I don't want to eat the fees, but I'm telling you, the premium that you get from sending it to FBA outweighs that. Now there are some questionable books out there. They got those e-scores of ones and twos. I could see an argument for doing merchant cross-listing software that way, sure. Just to you don't know. So could shake in your favor or not, right? So those kind of books I get, sure, do it that way.
I think booksellers, they get books for next to nothing, and they feel like, okay, I'm gonna list this book I got for a quarter on eBay for $8, and I'm gonna make $2 or $3. But they don't realize the time, the shipping supplies, the customer service time, all of that that goes into the back end with eBay. And I just want you to, like, I've been selling on Amazon for over 5 years, and the number of customer messages I have responded to, even if I read the message and I knew the answer to the message, is zero. You are not required to respond to customer messages on Amazon FBA, even if they say, hey, what's one plus one? There's a little button that says no response needed. Now all the eBay people are up in arms. Well, what, why wouldn't you give them the answer? You know it. It's not your obligation. Why is we like, it's, we're almost obligated. We feel obligated to do things we don't have to do. Like, them days are long gone for me. I got over that a long time ago. I want to do as little as I can and just make as much as I can. And I don't care how scammy that sounds, or like, well, you're really not out there hustling and bustling. And well, guess what? I don't have to. I have built relationships with libraries, with thrift stores. I don't have to be out there relying on my goodwills and praying I walk in and find 10 books that are way overpriced that I can resell to make a dollar or two.
Yeah, I had a library come in yesterday that I dealt with before. It was a one-time deal. And they're like, hey, we want you to do it again. We decided. I'm like, cool. It works for me. But no, on the eBay front, I spoke to a lady maybe a month or two ago because she was listing maybe $20, maybe $15 in her store books. They were antiquarian books, so they weren't Amazonable because that's her jam. She wanted to do that. I'm like, okay, if you're gonna do that, your price point needs to be at least $30 or more. A week later, she came out and announced, I'm doing $50 or more books. I'm like, hey, yeah, that's right. Fuck Johnny. I'm going to go even more than what he mentioned. I'm like, that is fair, and I applaud her for that. That was a good decision on her part. Now we're get I'm going to circle back to the point of whatnot. I'm not going to harp on the platform too much, but people do need a dud solution outlet, and some people are viewing it as that or a death pile solution. I think there are other avenues for that that aren't a time sink. That's the
That's it,
thing here.
dude. That's the big thing. I was going to say it. Your dud solution needs to be the quickest time solution to get rid of them.
Yes.
I'm to the point now where the money, sure, if I can figure out a way, I can get a little bit, but the time, like, I'm not going to have obligations to, like, this is going to be an hour's process and I'm only going to get, a few shekels back. It's all about time, man. Go ahead. I'm going to let you continue.
Some things I've come up with is I do have a bookstore. That is a solution. I put the most minimal effort into that bookstore known to man, and I make a couple bucks passively. And it doesn't eat huge on a per sitting basis, it doesn't eat a huge point of time. Now, me having to load the shelves or come out and collect the money, I made the comment the other day. I don't know if it was worth me getting out of my chair to go get a $5 bill or not. Don't know, but I still got a $5 bill, so whatever. Another solution is I've started dealing with other booksellers, like literally swapping books, or I have books I know you sell. Would you like to buy them? That's a quick wholesale kind of deal. Because I have more book, like we said, we could always get books. No issues getting books. That's never the issue. It's getting rid of them that's always the issue. So wholesaling books is another one. On the Amazon front, there are the buyback programs. Arguably, there's some labor put into that. And they're a time investment. You do the going out to like Second and Charles and stuff. Arguably, again, more time in there. So all of these things do take time to some degree. It's just I view whatnot as an exorbitant amount of time. And as you mentioned, we need the smallest amount of time put into this, whatever's the quickest and easiest. For me, it's putting books on shelves and talking with other booksellers to come on down, or here's a couple photos. Are you interested? That's been my solutions thus far. Are will those be my permanent end all be all solutions? No, I mean, I don't know everything, guys, despite what I say and what you believe. I know a lot, but not everything. And I'm sure I'll have some other additional things I'll tack on in my career. But for right now, those are the ones I'm sharing with you guys that I've done and been proven to be fast and effective.
I'll give you a perfect example. So second in Charles is a store where you can trade books in. They'll give you cash or store credit. I just started going back to them. I didn't go there probably for the past year and a half, 2 years. Well, like Johnny said, what's the time cost here, right? I could care less about the money. I can't be sitting hanging around second and Charles all day, Johnny, to get 20, 30, 40, $50 in credit.
Half-price books is worse. You cannot leave the store. You have
Okay.
to stay in the store. So I thought about taking my whole bookstore up there, bringing my lazy boy recliner with my laptop, and I'm just gonna wait. There's a whole U-Haul outside for you guys. I'll be here till tomorrow, I suppose, since you got to go through every single one and won't let me leave. Oh, and can you bring me my pop-up tent? I'm gonna need to have a good sleep as well.
That's how Second and Charles used to be. You can only put in three of the mailing totes, right? The white mailing totes everybody has seen in the post office, or you even have them to take your packages. And you can only do three at a time. Well, that's not a lot of books, Johnny. That's like barely,
It's like what I
I
got on my table behind me,
that's what
maybe
I'm saying.
less.
So think about the idea of I got a full carload of books. I got to go to Second and Charles like 30 times, dude, to get rid of this.
Yeah, because they got that once a day thing, don't they?
Once a day, right?
Once
So
a day
like
and three totes. How many years will it take?
so like all right. And like Johnny said, you don't have to stay in the store, but you have to come back to get your offer, right? So like
So
even if I'm
stupid.
going out thrifting, it's only 10 minutes away. It's still 10 minutes out of my way. So like if I'm headed out that way and coming back that way, it might make sense, but
So it's the initial 10-minute trip there, and then wherever you're going, so that amount of time back, and then the 10 minutes back home. So minimum 20 minutes is what we're eating.
it didn't make sense, so I gave it up. Well, 3 weeks ago, I said, hey, I'm gonna go back to Second and Charles, see if anything's changed, right? Kind of like I tell everybody, always check in on some of the thrift stores, even the ones that suck. Management changes, supply changes. So they completely revamped everything. You basically can drop off as much as you can at mine, and they auto credit your account, so you never have to go back. So I just say, hey, here, I load up the back seat, take everything.
Here's what they should do. Both these places and anybody else, it should be an auto credit to your online profile account if you want store credit. If you want cash, yeah, you're going to have to come back for the
Yes,
cash.
that's what they do. That's what they do. Well, and then that, and that's the problem is a lot of people that go in those places to trade in feel like, their Nora Roberts book, they paid 20 bucks for at Barnes and Noble.
Oh,
Like they want more than a nickel, then that's what Second and Charles is going to give you. So I do think it all comes down to time. My type of business does not exist if you're just wasting time, right? Like I tell everybody, I go thrifting 2 days a week. I'm probably sending in close to 400, 500 pieces of inventory from 2 days sourcing. That's it. Nothing special, nothing crazy. I struggle with this idea that we're selling on Amazon. It's as easy as peasy. Listen, eBay sellers, I already said, you're selling barcode ISBN media on eBay, you're a fool. Get on Amazon. If not, then guess what? Have fun working 60-hour weeks and making a fraction of what the Amazon seller can, because we can send in so much more. So 2 days a week sourcing. Like you said, I used to be, I'm out 4 or 5 days a week going to thrift stores, and I'm just burning time. I'm just burning time, burning time, burning time. Finally got smarter about it, refined my routes, go to more stores in 1 day, more focused approach. Every single person that is working 20 hours or more in their business should be making the same amount of money as me. The only outlying factors we're going to have here is the amount of sources you have, right? Me versus you, I got more thrift stores than you, right? So it's going to be a little bit, it's going to look different for you. But I do think the idea of not being in your reselling business 40 plus hours a week, you don't have to be to make a full-time income anymore. And people almost make it seem like, well, you got to be in there full-time and you got to be grinding, not on Amazon. I mean, this is easy, dude. And as much as cheesy as it sounds, like this is the easiest, stupidest money I'm ever going to make in my life. I mean, besides doing like the Amazon influencer program, where somebody just watches a me reviewing the Slap Chop, like the Slap Chop guy, like that's the stupidest money. But like this Amazon media business, dude, I mean, like we were just talking about all the CDs sitting behind you, like that's
Yeah.
thousands of dollars. Like
Even if I were to sell these locally, it's thousands of bucks.
I just struggle with it, man. And that's the whole reason I wanted to have this, talk about books and media, is all of us should be crushing it. I find it hard, for us not to be making a decent amount of money. And we have people that only do this part time, but they accept, hey, I'm going to put in 5 hours. I'm going to get 5 hour results. And as long as you're A-okay with that. But I mean, we got people all walks of life, you know, old, young, disabled, not disabled, whatever it is in the group. And every single person makes money. And the reason they make money is because they treat it like a business. Not, I'm a book lover, collector, all this nonsense. Everything's out the door. There's no sentimental value. And listen, we all got a favorite show, series that's probably been made into a book, right? Like, if I see a Halloween book, you know, I'm keeping it for myself. But the problem is when you got bookcases and bookcases and bookcases of all this money
Yeah,
sitting
but
there.
your book selection that you want to keep is vastly small to some of these people who have the equivalent of what's behind you on their shelves, that these are my books.
I guess the honest question for you is, since I hate books or like attaching myself to the things I sell, like, does that make me evil? Like, am I like the Dr. Evil of the book selling community because I tell everybody I could care less? Like, I just want the money.
No. I don't even call these things behind me books, CDs, and DVDs anymore. They're widgets. How much money or units? How much money does this unit give me? That's how I'm viewing it. I don't view them what they are. I don't know. There's probably somebody's favorite book behind me or favorite CD or DVD behind me. I could care less. It's a unit. How much money does it give me? If you're running a business, that's how you have to treat it. Even on a hobbyist level or a part-time level, if you want your money for your efforts, you got to be unattached to it, I'm afraid. Now, if you're the hobbyist who pulls a few books for yourself and then sells the rest because you like doing the estate sale run, no shame in that. I get what you're doing that for. You're just supplementing your hobby, your outside your business hobby with your actual passion hobby. Makes total sense in that regard. For anybody else trying to make this for a living or subsidize their living income because your Social Security and or pension not really good enough, you need to take it more seriously, in my opinion, and treat the things with unattachment. They're units, they're widgets. How many dollars does this thing in my hand bring me? That's how you need to view it. So no, you're not an evil son of a bitch, Mike, even though I call you that sometimes.
I feel like I should just share my screen and we can go into our Discord we have for members and show everybody that there's not a collectible tab, right? There's not like show us
No.
your collection tab. It does not exist. We are here to make money. Our path to making money is books. I guess I could be the used money guy because the books really have no value to me, like Johnny said, or the used widget guy, right? That would be Johnny's, you know,
Yeah.
YouTube handle because it is what it is. It's how much money can I make? So now I got another one I want to throw at you. If we say that, because I think today, even if you started today, I think you can make tens, hundreds of thousands of dollars selling media on Amazon, books on Amazon. So if me and you both agree to this statement, then why aren't there more people doing this? Or why aren't more people successful in this line of work?
Consistency and volume. The people sending in now, depending on how you're defining yourself, if you're calling yourself full time and you're doing one box a week, you're doing it wrong. You may have a pile of more than one box of material, but you only put in one box of effort for the week and you had all week. I'm sorry, my friend. You either need to change your work ethic or change your line of work. One of the two. Now, if you're more time strapped, you got a full-time job, you're going to thrift stores between lunch breaks on your way home, and then you get home and you pack a box, one box an evening. You've put in all the time that you're allocated because you got that full-time job and or other family commitments. I think you're doing it right. You put in the full-time effort. You gave all you can give. No shame in that. But it's consistently that person doing that night after night is going to make it versus the quote unquote full timer who does his one box a week and had a full week of hours to do this. So I think it's using your time effectively. And those people, I mean, they're in our group, they're in the remote areas. Apparently, sourcing is hard, and there are other outlying circumstances. You need to figure out the workarounds to that because. I've tried to help you. Mike's tried to help you. You're
There ain't
still
nothing
struggling
else,
on that.
dude. If you don't find a workaround, you're gone, right? Like
Yeah.
you got two options. You either
I
do
mean,
it
I sat
or you
down with a
don't.
couple booksellers yesterday and mentioned a few sourcing things that blew their mind. I was like, if you guys took 10 minutes to think about where books are that's not a thrift store, you could find them in abundance in a 10-mile radius. I'm sorry. But this seems to be really hard because people think all the books are at the thrift store. They're not.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to throw out some of the secret sauce here because you are right, right? We think the books only exist in the thrift stores. And I'm here to tell you, I stumbled on going to a record shop 3 weeks ago. I just Googled DVDs near me. Don't you know, Johnny, Google is a marvelous tool. You can put anything in that little thing and it's
magical.
It's magical, but we can't, like, we rather go down the rabbit hole emailing me and, you know, the whole nine yards. But anyways, back on topic. Record shops. I got a record shop that's been here since before I moved to this town. Like, I can walk there, Johnny. Like, I take my key back. I can walk there. I'm going to walk back. It's only, like, 5 minutes. They had thousands and thousands of CDs and DVDs. Okay, so what happens? I put it out there. My whole business is on YouTube, right? So if anybody has like any questions from day one to where I am today, I've documented the journey the whole way. Every single process, every single software is all out there, right? The formula is out there. So in the group, you know, like whenever I do something, I don't got no secrets in this business, unfortunately. Anybody can do it. It's just a matter of you actually doing it. Like Johnny's saying, actually getting out there and getting it done. Well, all of a sudden, Johnny say, hey, anybody check out like your local record shop? All of a sudden, people are like, what are you talking about? And then a week later, everybody's like, I went to my local record shop and I just found like hundreds of DVDs and CDs. Like, guys, we have to get out of this mindset of thrift stores, Goodwill, Savers, Salvation Armies. These should be
I'm
going to
blow everybody's mind. At bookstores, guys, they got CDs. I promise you, they do. At actual bookstores, they got CDs. And sometimes DVDs, too. But at least CDs, most bookstores have them these days. And they're quote unquote a bookstore. They couldn't possibly have CDs in there, Mike. There's no way. There are books. Go in. There'll be a bin of them or a couple racks of them.
This is cocky of me to say, and I don't even care because that's how confident I am in this statement. Anybody that joins my group and wants to start selling media, if they follow the pathway we have laid out for them, right? I got the Amazon side cover and weekly calls. You got your eBay. They can ask you any question when it comes to selling media on eBay. I got the Amazon front covered. Any single person, if they give themselves 6 months to a year, can make thousands of dollars selling media on Amazon. I don't think there's any hiccup, whether you live in Alaska, whether you live in Philadelphia, whether you live in New York City, it is all out there for the taking. But the question is, you got the work ethic, you got the guts to get out there and actually do the work that goes into it.
Now, I got a crazy business model, and I applaud the person who listens to me right now and does it. And I don't care if you're in a remote area or not. This would work probably better in a remote area. Actually, it wouldn't work better. I'm just saying if you have more limited sourcing options in a remote area, this would be a solution. If you create one of those neighborhood libraries, but hit every single neighborhood in a 20-mile radius, set them up, upload it to that .org site they have, letting everybody know, and you come and rotate the inventory, maybe put a pink sticker on the stuff you put in, and then you take the things without pink stickers and reload more pink sticker books, boom. Free inventory, relatively so, because you got to build the damn thing, sure. And that costs a little bit of money, sure. But if you build that infrastructure and create your own sourcing route for yourself, boom.
Wow. I mean, I don't know what it is. I'm confident that everybody, and listen, if you're selling media full-time, part-time, anytime, if your bank account isn't going up, you need to take a hard look in the mirror because we just get in this rat race of, I'm working, Johnny. Hey, Johnny, I'm working. Johnny, I'm working. And then you're like, hey, Mike, you want to go out and get some Domino's pizza? I'm like, Johnny, I ain't got the $6.99 for the medium two topping, dude. Like, oh. I'm a reseller. Like,
cheese pizza for you, my friend.
We have to be making money, dude. This drives me nuts. Like, how aren't we making money reselling? And by making money, I mean your actual bank account's going up, your savings account, you're paying off your debts, whatever it is. You have to be getting money back. And fully transparent, when I started, sure, a lot of the money you make has to go back into the business because we already talked about this is a volume game, right? You got to send in thousands of pieces into Amazon. Even at a dollar a piece, I got 3,700 of them sitting there, Johnny. That's $3,700 that we have to get back today. It's doing us nothing. Our money's just sitting at the Amazon warehouse. Our bank accounts need to be going up, especially if you're putting in all of these hours, especially if you're spending all of this money on inventory. If you're paying up for a book or a CD or DVD, you should be getting that money back a lot quicker than the items you're getting for free, technically, because if you're paying up, it should have a better sell-through. There should be more desire for that item. But for some reason, here we are as stinky media sellers, and we wear rags every day, and we reek of books, and we got no money, and we drive, my 2008 Altima with the the sunroof because I can't afford a Lamborghini. But the problem is, that's the reality, man. A lot of us, a lot of media sellers, booksellers in general, are dead broke.
True. So I got a quick solution for you people that are bad at money management. So I don't care. I don't care what kind of debt you have. I don't care what kind of bills you have. If you take 10% of every deposit you have used to repurchase inventory and or pump back in the business, just 10% of what hits your bank account, no matter what, come hell or high water, that goes in the business somehow, some way. The 90%, I don't care what you do with. Pay your bills, pay your debt, pay whatever. Take the girlfriend out on a nice meal. I don't care. If you just put 10% of your money toward improving your business, that compounds payment after payment after payment, and you will have more and more money. So that 10% may be 10 bucks first payment or two, but soon that becomes 20 bucks, 30 bucks, 100 bucks, because you've grown your business where it's compounding itself. Now, that's just a simplified model. Because everybody can understand 10%. You can put whatever numbers you want there. But if you want it easy, just 10%. That's it.
I got a, this might be the hottest take of this podcast I'm about to throw out there. We are selling media. You have to be the lowest price to sell your media on Amazon and most likely on eBay. Every book I've ever listed on eBay that was collectible, I listed it at the lowest price that was listed. I don't care what it's sold for, right? For everybody's like, well, I can sell Mariah Carey's Christmas CD at Christmas time for $3 million, but it's worth $3 today. Like, what are we getting today? I don't care about money we might eventually get down the road, right? Like, sure, I could buy a scratch off and I could hit for $1 million, but I'm not worried about that. I want to be the lowest price today. I want all my stuff to sell today. And if someone was willing to give me a fraction of what I paid for everything today, my 3,700 inventory, and somebody's like, hey, I'm gonna give you 10 bucks a piece. You're like, I've made a post about this a few weeks ago. Like, I would take $17.99 for every piece of inventory at Amazon, and I would only make like probably $7 across the board. I would take it for every single piece, and I would take my, $21,000 because I got 3,000 in there, seven, whatever the math really burns out to. And I would just go buy more, Johnny, because we already said it's everywhere. You look out the window. Oh, there's a book walking by right now, Johnny. Like, why aren't we willing to just take the quick money? We have to hang on and feel like, well, I know I can get this much, Johnny. I got one of the Stephen King books this week. I don't, the Bachman books or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah, his pseudonym name. Yeah, it's the same guy.
Yeah. So it's like it's worth like on Amazon, it's going for like 100 and something dollars, whatever. But it's like, sure, can I be like, I know what I got, like price is firm, when you see like Facebook Marketplace, I know what I got. I'm just like, nah, I paid a buck for it, Johnny. If I can be the lowest guy at $99, if I can be the lowest guy at $49, like I'm in it, dude. I just turned my dollar into 30. I'm gonna go find 30 more of those Bachman books and just compound it. But we refused, and people give me crap because I undercut and I tank all the prices on Amazon. But hey, what's my bank account doing, Johnny? It's going up while your stuff's still sitting at the Amazon warehouse doing absolutely nothing for you.
Take a dollar, turn into 20, and clear 10. So you're turning a dollar into $10 every time. Or better yet, if you're in bulk, you turn a nickel into 20 and you're clearing 10 over and over and over and over again. And I'll break it down even simply. Me and Mike are back in grade school. We got a bag full of nickels and dimes, but we got the whole rest of the schoolyard lining up to give us $10 bills for our nickels and dimes. That's the game we're playing, ladies and gentlemen. All you have to do is have a bag of nickels, bag of dimes, get to work. You got to show up at the playground, get your money.
I should, maybe we'll, I guess I'll go first. We'll say what the hardest part of our business currently is. And I'm gonna t I'll tell you mine right now. Driving 1 hour and 15 minutes is the hardest part of my business. Straight up. This week I drove 1 hour and 50. It might have even been a little bit longer. And I'm just driving back and I got Deb on the phone and I'm just like, this is brutal. This drive sucks. That is literally the worst part of my business, Johnny. There's peeling stickers sucks, but driving 1 hour and 15 minutes, that is just dreadful to me. That's the worst part of me doing 10K in sales a month on Amazon is me driving. How pathetic is
Oh,
that? Yeah,
that's so sad.
oh my
Oh,
God, what a baby. What's yours? What's the hardest part of your business?
it's processing, to be honest, because it's the most time consuming. I don't have the drive time like you. Like, I'll do maybe a pickup once a month, if that. Everything else comes to me these days, or I'm currently processing what I've gotten, because it's just that's bulk life. So, like yesterday, I spent the whole day processing what you see on the table behind me, what's on the bookshelf, that other table down there you can't see me, the smaller table I still haven't finished, which is cannibalizing, case swapping stuff. Anybody who knows in CDs knows exactly what I'm talking about. But it's not that it's intolerable, but it is the hardest, longest stretch of my day is processing. Same for the books. Got tables of books. The books are in boxes. Take the books out of the box, process the books, put the books where they need to go. Are they going to Amazon? Are they going to eBay? Are they going to the bookstore? Are they going outside on the dime rack? Or are they going in the trash dumpster? So it's processing for me. That's the longest part. Again, it doesn't necessarily suck. It is what it is, but it's a grind.
It's, I think another reason that we kind of are having this conversation is people see reselling as a way to get rich quick, right? You see all the big YouTubers, everything that's going to push to you is, the gold bar, YouTubes, going to Goodwills and finding $1,000, $100 items. If you had an infinite supply of items you could guarantee would make you $2 that you bought for a dollar, every single person should do that because you're doubling your money instantly. We have to get out of this mindset. Well, I got to make at least $50 per item. When if there's no work that goes into this on Amazon, it's just a label, right? That's all we're doing, throwing a label on the book and just fanning through the book to make sure there's no money in it or I don't know, whatever you're gonna find in books. What's the hold up here? We all should be pumping out inventory into Amazon. And you referenced Jack earlier. He does video games by himself, and the dude's a machine. Like 7 figures by himself. I think that is possible for a media seller if you really iron out your processes and just work your ass off. Now, is there room for me to do more work? Yes, 100%. Anybody that's in the group knows that I've been securing more bulk sources, right? So my time in the business is going to go up. But with my time, Johnny, you better guarantee my profit per hour, which people hate that term for some reason, is going to stay the same or it's going to go up because I'm not going to waste my time. If I'm not getting the bang for my buck, I can just keep doing what I'm doing. I'm not going to be like, well, I got more time, Johnny, right? I'm only doing this 25 hours. I got an extra 15 hours, but those extra 15 hours, I'm making $3 an hour because I'm just wasting my time. Just because I want to be busy within the business.
Oh, yeah. I mean, here's a crazy concept for people. Book is released out in the world, sells for $20 to some consumer. Sometime down the road, the consumer discards the book. It ends up at Goodwill. You're buying it by the pound for 64 cents. That guy takes it to the flea market, sells it to you, Mike, for a dollar. Mike flips it on Amazon or eBay for 40 bucks, more than what it originally sold for. That's the kind of market we're dealing with in. And if you understand that these items maintain or go up in value, or they're worth more than what you spent at the flea market, the thrift store, the library, the bookstore, the pawn shop. I have a laundry list, but I'm going to stop now. If you understand this concept, you can make a shitload of money. Now, am I saying you're going to work 5 hours a week to make a shitload of money? No, I'm not.
I'm working towards it, dude.
You're working towards it. If you can refine your process, the long hours you put in today will become shorter and shorter and shorter. But even on Mike's, what do you said you do? 20 hours a week, 30 hours a week, something
Give or
like that?
take, falls between 20 and 30, depending on if I have like a library pickup or something.
Yeah, even if you were to put in that amount of time every week, you're going to make pretty much on par with above what the average annual salary is in America. You can replace whatever job you're working at within reason. Within reason, if you're working the top 1% job, maybe not. Within a year, I truly believe that. If you were to put in 20 to 30 hours week after week, but use those 20, 30 hours effectively with the term everybody hates, now I'm going to use it more. Hour.
Yeah, you gotta understand this is a business, treat it like a business. And I mean, when I first started, I was kind of clueless to what was going on, and I thought it was cool to, be in the thrift stores all the time. And it kind of when you
That
start,
fades.
it not only that it fades, you start to, I guess, you develop the business sense that you actually have a business. And a lot of for some reason, a lot of resellers can't get over the hurdle of, well, I'm just a reseller. No, you're a small business owner at the end of the day, right? Like, you have to treat this thing like a business and stop burning your time. Sure, there's things, you want to help somebody out, XYZ. Their books ain't great, but it's a family member or something. Yeah, you're never ever always going to get the bang for your buck, but that should always be your focus at the end of the day, is getting the most out of your time. And if you can figure something out where you don't have to spend 60 hours a week, 40 hours a week, and you can continue to make the same amount of money, don't feel bad about it. Like, I laugh when people say, when I get a DM and say, hey, you're only doing this 20 hours a week now. I'm like, yeah, well, I don't care. I'm making more than I ever have, right? And I'm doing the least I ever have. So, like, sure, call me what you want to call me.
I was speaking to a lady from Australia yesterday. Her name's Liz. Hi, Liz, if you're listening to this, probably not. Everybody was talking about these big numbers, and she said flat out, I don't want to make those numbers. I'm making enough. She's pretty much like Tommy Boy, right? She only wants X amount extra dollars, and she's already doing that. And I said, what did I say to her? Because I was talking to two booksellers at once, giving separate advice, and I said, okay, you over here need to do this. Liz, you can do whatever the fuck you want because you've already made it. You're already there. And
That's
she's like,
it.
yeah, I know. I'm like, yeah,
Yeah.
it's good enough.
I mean, think about it. All the retired people we have in the group, and we always ask them, like, hey, what's your goal, right? It's like, oh, I want to make $500 extra a month, $700 extra a month. And what I make it clear, like, hey, when you get there, it's A-okay that you don't feel like you have to keep growing, right? Your 500 doesn't need to turn into 2,000. If that's what you're comfortable with, then ride it out, right? Sure, if I want to be the 20K a month seller, Johnny, then I got to step my game up big time, right?
Sure.
It's And I guess we can reference you. Like, you just got back on the Amazon train in 2024.
Yeah.
Your inventory number is over 15,000. You're doing well over 10K a month in sales. Like, and all you did was process and send inventory in. I mean, I
I'm
really,
a
and
factory.
coming from the eBay world, like, I haven't heard you complain about anything on Amazon, right? Besides dealing with some of the little hiccups with pricing and things like that. You're
Yeah.
just like, you see this as like, what do you think the limit is for yourself and the current business model you have when it comes to like sales per month?
It's hard. Well, if I were not to, I'm planning on including video games. I'm currently not doing video games, so we'll exclude that. I think I could probably do in sales round two, 200,000. Just and now keep in mind, I had an employee the first 6 months. Now I don't, but I still think solo, I could probably do 200,000 in sales just myself. If I were to do CDs, DVDs, and books only. Now, if I incorporate video games, probably even a little higher, honestly, maybe closer to three. But we got Jack over there who does seven figures, so I'd have to take that gauntlet challenge. But he just does video games only. He's not mixed media, to clarify.
I think the big thing is you have the resources in front of you, right? If you're listening to this podcast, you got Johnny, you got me.
Yeah.
You sell video games, you got Jack. You can reach out to him. He'll shoot you a straight answer. Like, we have the resources, but for some reason, we're scared to do something, right? And I see these people on YouTube. They have these huge media stores. I got 50,000, 100,000 listings, and they're not making no money at the end of the day. We had Tom on. The dude's got over 100,000 listings on eBay. He's got employees and he sees a future. It's not, he's just not thinking eBay. He's thinking next level beyond that. So eBay is a stepping stone for him. This idea that, oh, I'm going to have a 50,000 item eBay media store when you could literally just send it all into Amazon, let them deal with everything. You got to be out of your mind, dude. That's why I'm going bald, right? Because I see all these eBay media sellers and I just start stressing. I start pulling at the little bit of hair I have. And that's probably the reason I'm going bald, dude, because I know any single person, regardless of how old, regardless of any type of disability, can make money on Amazon selling media. I just need people to commit to the process and put in the time. And in the beginning, it's going to be more time you're going to have to put in. Your profit per hour ain't going to be there in the beginning because, like any business, there's hurdles you're going to learn along the way. But as you grow, you should start looking at ways to make a whole lot more money with the time you're currently spending, or spend less time so you make a whole lot more money per hour because you're spending less time making the same amount or more.
Now, I got to give Tom a whole bunch of credit. He runs a very lean operation, like him and three other people. It started with just him. He built it up and he grinded it out. He did the eBay grind because he lives in Australia. That's their only online presence that's big over there. So much applaud to him. And his success was in his work, his whatever around him, looking at when he's on camera and he's showing us his factory, his place, his facility, and everything that's involved with that. That came with just grinding it out, putting in the work. Everybody can have, if that is your goal, everybody, I believe, can have that if you want that. But you got to put in the work to get that. It isn't just the think about it. Oh, that'd be nice to have. And I hear people say that too when they hear the $100,000 a year mark. That would be great. Yeah, I want that. That's not your real goal. Tom had real clear-cut goals every single time. Not this abstract, this would be a nice to have. I think everybody needs to have, I don't care what it is. If it's a house, great. If it's a factory, great. If it's one employee, great. You have clear-cut goals, you will work hard to get them. If you have an abstract goal, doesn't mean much, just sounds nice to have, I think you won't be as successful.
All right, I'm gonna wrap it up here with my final thought. I do think, that what they deal with over there, Tom and Mel, eBay being their main platform, and I say it all the time openly, eBay is a lot harder than Amazon. It's not even close. I mean, it's not. It's you're talking like college calculus to like kindergarten, math, right? That's the difference. I just want somebody out there listening to this that sells media on eBay to just give Amazon a shot, because in the States, Amazon is the biggest platform. It's never going to be touched. They started selling books. You can make lots and lots of money selling used media on Amazon, selling new media on Amazon. The only thing that's stopping you is yourself. And that comes to not being scared of the platform and just betting on yourself and saying, hey, I'm going to get my time back, and understanding that there are benefits to selling on Amazon besides the high fees, which aren't even that high when you really think about the packaging, the picking, the return handling, everything that goes into Amazon's overall business. Then all of a sudden you start seeing the next level and the next level. You don't get in this stuck in this mindset of eBay's all I got, and hey, if eBay, does whatever, I just got to take all these photos. I mean, just the appeal of me telling somebody that sells on eBay today, like, you never got to respond to a customer message. You never have to take another photo of anything in your life. I mean, everybody should be like, I'm signing up for Amazon today, right? Because it's crazy to me, looking as an eBay seller that I used to be. And hey, the day comes and I get canned on Amazon. Unfortunately, Johnny, I'm going to be the guy that's got to cross list everything on eBay and everywhere else in the universe. But even that process, you could refine so you're not spending endless amounts of hours. Any final thoughts on our whole tangent about book selling today?
No, I'm just going to back you up. I believe me working how I did on eBay helped me make Amazon more easy. So when I hear people complain about Amazon, I think of myself like I came from a third world country and moved to the US. It's so much easier here than living in that third world country. So I'm going to call eBay the third world country here and Amazon the United States. And I've moved. And it could be worse. I know it could be worse. The grind could be much worse. I'm not gonna shit on eBay. It gave me a work ethic I didn't know I was really capable of. I always had a good work ethic, but I really worked that monster. I'm gonna call it a monster, really hard. And then transitioning to Amazon, and the difference is just so astronomically different, and the reward is astronomically different as well. But rounding this out here, I'm not saying work long hours, but I'm saying work hard in the hours you're able to commit.
Yeah, I mean that's what I do, right? If I'm gonna put in, you could argue that I work harder in the 20 hours than some people that just, fiddle around for 60 hours a week in their business. And yeah, you're right. It does give you an eye-open experience when you sell on eBay and then you move to a platform like Amazon. I just wish more people would take advantage. Like, this is a crazy opportunity that we have. Like, think about it. Like, we should both be still working at the jobs we hated, and we had this opportunity of reselling. And something as stupid as media, where you can find it on every single corner for a quarter a piece, we all should be getting involved in this. We all should be thinking about, hey, how can we get our time back in this business? So that's going to do it for this week's episode. And yeah, man, I don't know. It's just selling books, it's still there, it's still possible. And I see so many people that get defeated about it. You just got to give yourself a real shot. If you have a question, reach out, ask somebody that's been doing this for years. Whether it's everybody's an open book nowadays, everybody's got social media. It's that easy, and just bet on yourself. So we'll talk to you all in next week's episode.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.